The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. In the evening of that same day, the first day of the week, the doors were closed in the room where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. He said to them, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord, and he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so am I sending you." And after saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. For those whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called the twin, who was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. When the disciples said, "We have seen the Lord," he answered, "Unless I see the holes that the nails made in his hands, and can put my finger into the holes they made, and unless I can put my hand into his side, I refuse to believe." 8 days later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. The doors were closed, but Jesus came in and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he spoke to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look, here are my hands. Give me your hand. Put it into my side. Doubt no longer, but believe." Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You believe because you can see me. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe." There were many other signs that Jesus worked and the disciples saw, but they're not recorded in this book. These are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing this, you may have life through his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Harold Wilson, who said, "A week is a long time in politics." Well, not just in politics. We've just heard there, transformation in a week. While I've been away these last few days, I've read quite a bit, mainly articles in the newspaper, but very relevant, both for this very day, but also for the times where we are. Where is the risen Lord to be found? Because the gospel passage begins in darkness, in the darkness of the Lord's absence. The doors were closed, and paralyzing fear froze the energy of the apostles. It's been the case for many people. You may or may not know or may remember that a few weeks ago, four missionaries of charity, sisters of charity, their Mother Teresa's sisters, were shot one by one in the Yemen, despite the great charitable work that they were doing among all kinds of people there. And it was one of the sisters that managed to escape. The four were shot, one got away, that told us the story. But at the same time, their Indian Catholic priest chaplain, who was aged 56 and who had been working as their chaplain, was kidnapped. And apparently, one of the reports in the week said that he was crucified by ISIL on Good Friday. Some reports saying it didn't happen, but others were saying it was. And the Archbishop of Vienna referred to it, apparently, on Easter Day. Then, of course, we soon heard of the bomb in the park in Pakistan, which was in a fairly Christian area, but not all Christian. There were many other, particularly Muslim, of course, there as well, and out celebrating Easter time. And, of course, the bomb went off, and many of those that were killed were children. And then a day or two later, the former chief rabbi, Jonathan Sacks, that I've mentioned to you before, wrote an article entitled, "We are facing an unprecedented age of terror." The ethnic cleansing of Christians around the world is one of the great crimes of our age. But alongside it, I was also reading another book that we, until very recently, didn't know had been published, and that's by Canon John Rutherland Shortland, who was parish priest here from 1858 until his death in 1889. He built that aisle and the house I'm in, and I think he paid for the house out of his own pocket. But he wrote in 1869 two or three books, but one that, a short one I was reading, was about the terrible tortures of Catholic Christians in Korea. And he spoke there of the martyrdom of 9 French missionaries and many other lay people who were brutalized before being beheaded, but sometimes crucified. A hard time for them all. And John, in a sense, picks that up in that second reading, because John was exiled to Patmos. Patmos is what they call a brown island because it can be so hot. And the punishment was to work in the heat and burden of the day. But he said that he was there, I am your brother, and I share your sufferings, but also your kingdom and all you endure. Now mention all those things because it's all relevant to what we celebrated. But Canon Shortland went on this. He said it was a very hard time for all of them. Yet he wrote how so strong in their faith that their faces shone as they were led to execution. They've been brutalized. He gives an account of it. It's terrible. But then led to their faces shone. Of course, with terrorism, with like the bomb in Pakistan, you've no time. Goes off and that's it. Of course, many are injured, and that's another matter. All in the gospel, from that darkness at the beginning and the frozen because of the fear, is changed when the risen Jesus came and stood among them. And his first greeting, peace. And that's why in our Mass, the peace is always important. Whether you like shaking hands or not, it's neither the point. It's giving the peace, however we do it, to each other. Because the risen Lord came and said, peace be with you. And then he showed them his hands and his side, as it were, as evidence of who he was. And then bestows on them a double blessing. The first, that they are to be commissioned and go out, and then breathes on them the Spirit for the forgiveness of sins to inspire and empower them. But Thomas, as we know, wasn't there, which is why we get the whole week, that whole week from the first day, and then 8 days later, the octave day. That's why the Easter octave is so important. And like many, I'm sure, in our own day, they say, oh, Jesus is very interesting and all that sort of thing. But unless we can see this, unless we can see that, well, we can. We can. Because Jesus says to Thomas, reach here your finger. Give your hand to my hand, his wounds. Doubt no longer, but believe. Quite different to what he'd said that afternoon, or the Easter Sunday afternoon, to Mary Magdalene in the garden when she was clinging on to him. Don't cling to me. You can't keep, as it were, that risen Lord as you would like. But he gives us something to do. Go. Go and find the brothers. Tell them, you see. And that's what he did with the brothers too. As soon as you come, and peace be with you, reassure them who he is. Now you go on as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Off you go, he says. But I say that we see because the Triduum is there to, for us to see, and all the senses. One of the great things about Catholicism is it's all our senses are used. And we can see that particularly, of course, but all Mass, particularly at sung Mass, but at Masses, but particularly over the Triduum, because, of course, he feeds the taste we have with his own body and his blood. He anoints with chrism, and as I said to you, I think, last week, and I baptized a baby yesterday afternoon, and again, the chrism is a very powerful scent that the bishop has given us this year, more than most other years. No criticism of the past. They've obviously used some different balsam. Very powerful it is. But it's right. You see, because when Mary anointed his feet, the house was filled with the scent of the perfume. And it's this sense of our senses, because that's what they could see, and they could touch, and they could feel, and they could taste. All our senses there. And so our sins are forgiven through the words. We hear the words spoken to us. We smell the holy incense and the sacred chrism. The risen Lord invites us to his wounds. That's why the consecration of the Easter Paschal candle is so important. The wounds, the nails of the wounds, they're incense grains, that scent of it going up for us. But it's the risen Lord now, 2016, the risen Lord. And he's saying to you, as he said to Thomas, reach here. I'm not saying you've all got to come up and feel, but it's there to see, to taste, to touch, to smell, all our senses, as it were. And we're among those included in those words of Jesus at the end to Thomas. You believe because you can see me. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe. And we've not seen in a sense what Thomas saw, but in another sense we have. And that's why the church gives us all that in the Triduum and going on. The risen Lord. Where is it to be found? Not in the tomb of death. Not behind the doors of life bolted in fear. And remember always, terrorism seeks to have us all in a grip of fear. But the Lord is found everywhere in the mission of the church as he sends us out in the power of the Spirit. He breathes on us. We watch even the bishop breathing on the sacred chrism. That's one of the things the bishop has to do as he consecrates the chrism. Breathe on it, because that's what Jesus did. Breathes on us that power of the Holy Spirit to go out. That's what we can do. Show his divine mercy to the world. That's why Divine Mercy Sunday, an important day, because when we're sent out, that's what we're showing around the world. And a line jumped out to me from Canon Shortland's book, writing of the Korean martyrs. He said, they said, we will pour into the people above all the spiritual blessings of which divine mercy has rendered us the depositaries. It's not, that's a Victorian word, I think, depositaries. But what it means is that's been poured into us through the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the risen Lord. That leapt off the page for us to contemplate on Divine Mercy Sunday in the year of mercy.